Osho, Tao, the Three Treasures, Volume 4. Talks on fragments from Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching. Given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 3.
Bhagwan, Lao Tzu says, they know me not. My teachings are very easy to understand and very easy to practice, but no one can understand them and no one can practice them. In my words there is a principle. In the affairs of men there is a system. Because they know not these, they also know me not. Since there are few that know me, therefore I am distinguished. Therefore the sage wears a coarse cloth on top and carries jade within his bosom.
The easy is not always easy, and the obvious not obvious. This happens because of you. You are very difficult and puzzled, complicated, complex. Your whole being is topsy-turvy, fragmentary, divided in compartments. To understand an easy thing as easy, you have to be undivided. And to understand a thing which is very obvious is to bring the mind to a certain quality of awareness. Otherwise, the distant seems near, and the near is forgotten. Lao Tzu's teachings are very easy. You cannot find more easy teachings than them. Buddha is a little complex. Jesus also. Krishna very much. But Lao Tzu is absolutely simple. And because of that simplicity, he is the most elusive. People have not been able to comprehend him. Not because he is difficult, but because he is so easy. There is nothing to comprehend, in fact. There is nothing to solve. If the mind has something to solve, the mind tries to solve it. In the effort to solve it, it comes to a certain understanding. But if the thing is absolutely easy, the mind has no challenge. There is no question of solving it. It is already solved. The mind simply forgets about it. It is not a problem, so it is not an interest for the mind, not a curiosity for the mind. There is no challenge in it. The mind cannot overcome it, conquer it. There is no point. The victory is so easy, the mind thinks victory is useless. That's why Lao Tzu has been missed. And he is the most profoundest. But his teaching is very easy. This has to be understood. Right now, your mind can comprehend many complex things. You can understand the Hegel, not very profound, but very complicated. You can understand Kant, not very deep, but very puzzling. you can understand philosophers, philosophies, systems, because they don't require any different kind of awareness than you have. As you are, a little effort is needed and you will be able to understand Hegel. Just a little more effort on your part, but no transformation in your being. They are just ahead of you. You have to walk few miles more. The quality is not different. But to understand the Lao Tzu, you have to pass through a deep mutation, a total revolution. You have to become like children, innocent. It is not a question of a very intelligent mind. It is a question of a very innocent mind. Innocence is needed to understand the easy. Intelligence is needed to understand the complicated. Intelligent you are. And that's what is proving your whole stupidity. You cannot understand innocent things. You have lost that capacity completely, that mirror-like clarity of a child. He may not be able to say that he understands, because he lacks in vocabulary, logic. But just look into his eyes, everything is reflected, uncorrupted. A childlike consciousness is needed, then Lao Tzu is so simple and nothing like Lao Tzu. He does not create any problems. He is not a philosopher, not a system maker. He is someone who has fallen back to the original source of innocence, and from there he looks at life. And he simply cannot understand why you are so much puzzled. I also cannot understand where the problem lies, why you are chasing continuously and reaching nowhere. Why you are continuously trying to solve and nothing is solved. Just on the contrary, the more you try to solve, the more things fall into bad shape. The more disturbance, the more tensions, the more anguish, more anxiety. One problem you try to solve and 101 problems arise out of your efforts. Something very basic is missing. This mind that you already have is not the mind which can solve. So whatsoever you do with this mind, it complicates it more. It is a vicious circle. When it complicates it more, you try to solve it more, then it complicates it even more. And this goes on and on. If this mind is allowed to go to the very logical extreme of its capacity, you will become mad. Insanity is going to be the logical outcome of it. You don't become mad because you don't go to the very extreme, that's all. Between mad people and you, there is a difference of degree, nothing else. One step more and you will become mad. You don't go to the extreme, that's all. You cling to the middle. So somehow you manage your normalness. Otherwise, everybody seems to be pathological. Life in itself is not a problem. So any effort to solve it is foolish. Life is a mystery to be lived, not a problem to be solved. Let this be a very fundamental understanding within you. It is not a problem at all. Enjoy it, delight in it, love it, live it, Do whatsoever you like, but please don't try to solve it. It is not a problem at all. I have heard a joke. A professor of logic went to a toy shop with his small children, aged 5 years, and his wife, also very educated. The wife also educated, very cultured. And they were trying for a new toy for the child for his birthday. They came across a very puzzling jigsaw puzzle. The father himself, a logician, tried to solve it. He did everything that he could. But there seems to be no possibility to solve it. He started perspiring because people gathered in the shop. And a professor of logic cannot solve a simple jigsaw puzzle which is meant to be solved by children. The wife also helped. Only the child enjoyed the whole game because he was not interested in solving it. He was suggesting do this and that. He was only one who was not troubled. And then the logician asked the shop owner, what is the matter? If I cannot fit this puzzle, how you expect that a child of 5 years will be able to fix it? The shop owner started laughing, a mad laugh. He said, it is not meant to solve. This toy is not made to be solved. This is just to introduce the child to the modern world, to the modern life, that whatsoever you do, you cannot solve it. It has been made with a specific purpose that it cannot be solved. Life has been made with a specific purpose, that it is purposeless, that it is not something to be solved, something to be lived, enjoyed. You can celebrate it. You can dance it. You can sing it. Millions of possibilities are there what to do with life, but please never try to solve it. Otherwise, you have taken the wrong step. And then never in your life you will be again in step with life. Who told you that this is a problem, these trees, this sky, the clouds, the sand, the sea? Who told you that these are problems to be solved? But the mind wants challenges, something to fight with. Even if there is no problem, it creates ghost problems to solve them. By solving them, it feels good. Ego is enhanced, fulfilled. You have conquered something. This is the basic standpoint of religion, that life has to be lived. It needs not a knowledgeable mind, but a wondering heart. Wonder as much as you can. In the West, they say that the philosophy was born out of wonder, but that seems to be wrong. Because a philosophy is born only when the wonder is murdered. On the death of wonder, philosophy erects its structure. If wonder remains, then there can be no philosophy. Wonder is a state of being, open, allowing, a let go. You enjoy, but you don't ask questions. You love it, but you are not bothered why it is there. The why of it does not become an obsession. the what of it does not become an illness in you, that you have to first know it, why it is, what it is. You simply accept it as it is, and you wonder. And wonder is not a mental thing, it is of the heart. You are surprised by everything that comes across, a bud opening and becoming a flower. Again, the whole creation is being created. And you in your foolishness are asking how God created the world, why God created the world. And He is creating right now in front of your eyes. Watch it. Let that bud open there and become a flower. And don't bring your mind full of questions. Just look with a wondering heart and you will know. You will come to know through wonders, not through inquiry. And if wonder is attained, then Lao-tzu is absolutely simple, so obvious. As obvious as life itself. Truth is simple. Nothing has to be said about it. And you will understand it because you are part of it. You have never gone out of it. You remain in the ocean. You are born out of it. You dissolve into it. The ocean lives through you, moment to moment. In every heartbeat of yours, the whole beats. In you the whole walks. In you the whole feels hunger. In you the whole feels satiety. In you the whole loves and is loved. In you the whole is born every moment. This is the difference between philosophy and religion. Philosophy thinks life has problems to be solved. That's a basic assumption. Religion thinks life has nothing to be solved. Life is there in all its openness. Jump into it. Dance with it. Dive deep into it. Become one with it. And this is the beauty, that those who start by problems never end up with solutions. And those who never start with problems are always with the solution. Those who try to solve never are capable to solve it. And those who were never interested in solving it, they have solved it. In fact, nothing has been hidden from the very beginning. Everything is open. It is an open secret. It looks like a secret because you are closed. So the whole thing is how to bring a different quality of being to life. Not this mental inquiry, but a wondering heart. Have you watched sometimes that the same thing can be boring and the same thing can be very, very deeply interesting? There are moments. For the first time, you listen to a Beethoven symphony and it is so absorbing, so fulfilling. You become almost pregnant with it. You throb with it. You forget yourself completely. You are lost in it. It takes possession of you. You move in another world. The next time you hear the same symphony, it is not so beautiful. And third time, it is already getting a boring phenomenon. And the fourth time and the fifth time, and you are completely bored. Now, is boring a quality of the symphony? Boredom is part of symphony, or it is something that you bring to it? Because if the symphony itself is boring, then for the first time also it must have been boring. The quality cannot belong to symphony. It belongs to you. For the first time you were excited. For the first time you were wondering, where are you going? What is going to happen? For the first time you had a child's heart. Excited. Have you seen children going for a journey? How excited they are. And you are simply bored. And they jump into the windows and want to look out. And you are simply bored because the same scenery is being repeated again and again. The trees, the hills, and nothing new. But why? Children are so much excited. They don't know yet how to get bored. They have not learned it. It takes time to learn the art of being bored. It takes experiences, a long life, and much effort. Only then you can become bored. A child is fresh. When you come to a symphony for the first time, you are fresh like a child. You enjoy it. Next time you already know it. That knowledge is creating boredom. There is nothing like knowledge. If you want to create boredom, become more knowledgeable. You will be completely bored, dead bored. Know more and you will be more bored. Know less and you will be always filled with wonder. Don't know at all. That is the innocence. Not knowing anything. How can you be bored? Next day again. Have you watched children? Have you told them stories? You tell the same story. And next day they are again asking, tell us again the same. You feel bored. But they are asking about the same story again. If you tell them and if they are not feeling sleepy, they say once more, tell us the story again. Because how many times you say does not make much difference. They don't become knowledgeable. They don't gather dust. They remain clean. Their mirror remains fresh. Someday it can happen again that you are sitting with a man who is a boring one and you are perfectly bored. Then you turn on the music and the same symphony starts filling the room. Suddenly, you have heard it many times, but now again it is enchanting. It has a magic. What has happened? Comparatively, that boring man was creating so much boredom. You were so much fed up with him that even a symphony that you have heard many times again looks new, relatively. You do one experiment. You pass from the same road every day. You look at the same trees every day. Just look more intensely. As if you have become the eyes. Look at the tree very intensely, as if your whole life depends on it. Suddenly you will see a transfiguration. The tree is not the same. The color is changing. The more you become intense inside, the color becomes greener, fresher, alive. The flower is the same, but the fragrance is not the same. The tree is the same, but the beauty is not the same. The more intense you become, the more the tree becomes beautiful, and there is no problem to be solved. The tree is so beautiful, only foolish people will try to solve it. Only fools are in search of solutions. Wise people have always lived and enjoyed and delighted. That's why drugs have become so much important in the West. Man lives just like you have seen horses moving on the street, yoked to carts, tangas. They have blinkers. They are not allowed to see. Because if they see too much, they will get confused. And if they can see too much, they will not move in the direct direction where you want them to lead, with blinkers. The whole society has fixed blinkers on your eyes, on your senses. Because the society is afraid if you remain a child, you will remain dangerous. The society tries to make the child as soon as possible a mature one. And the maturity is nothing but deadness. We force knowledge on the child so he loses his wondering heart. Otherwise there is danger. A child is dangerous. You cannot predict a child. He is unpredictable. What he will do, nobody knows. You cannot force laws and regulations on him because he lives moment to moment. He has to be made knowledgeable. So schools, colleges, universities exist. These create blinkers. The whole effort of all education is to fix blinkers on your senses so you become dull. Then there is no danger. When you are bold, you become a perfectly good citizen. A bold man is perfectly good. He always follows the rules, the law. He is dead. He cannot rebel. But a alive man is always rebellious. Life is rebellion. Rebellion against death, rebellion against matter, rebellion against fixed frozenness. Life is a flow. So the society fixes blinkers on your senses. You see, but you don't see really. Hence, in the West, in the East, in the old days, drugs became very important. Drugs, society says that should not be used, but it is society which are forcing people to use drugs. First you make people insensitive. When they become insensitive, then only drugs can give them a little sensitivity. So when under LSD, your eyes open, blinkers removed. It is a chemical change. The chemical changes your blinkers. You look at trees. They have a tremendous beauty they had never before. Ordinary objects of life, an ordinary chair, are a pair of old shoes. Suddenly has a quality of divineness in it. Have you seen Vincent van Gogh's painting the shoes? He must have seen something, otherwise who wants to paint an old pair of shoes? And they are really beautiful. He worked hard on them. Just a pair of old shoes, but you can see that they are old. You can see that they are very, very experienced. You can see that they have lived much, struggled far, walked much on many roads known and unknown, suffered. Their whole life is there. It is suspected that painters must be having some sort of inbuilt LSD in them. That's why they see things so beautifully. Ordinary people don't see. Van Gogh has painted a chair. Nobody can see any beauty in that chair, but he must have seen. When Aldous Huxley for the first time tried LSD 25. He was sitting before a chair. That day he realized what Van Gogh should have seen in a chair. Suddenly blinkers removed, forced by the chemicals, eyes clean and innocent. The chair started radiating. Thousands of colors, the chair became a rainbow. So beautiful, no Kohinoor can compete with it. After a few hours, when the effect of LSD is gone, the chair is again the same. What happened? Did the chair change? You took the LSD. The chair has not taken the LSD. Blinkers removed. And I say to you, that drugs cannot be avoided unless a society is created which drops blinkers. Otherwise, they will persist. Names differ, and this is really beautiful. People who drink alcohol, they are against LSD. Alcohol is a drug. Maybe old, ancient, traditional, it is a drug. The magistrate will be an alcoholic, and he will send a person to jail because he has taken LSD. Nothing is wrong in LSD if something is not wrong with alcohol. LSD is just a newcomer, better and developed, more scientific. I am not saying that take LSD, need drugs. You live 24 hours in such deep wonder that no drug can aid to it. On the contrary, if a person who is living a life, a real life like Lao Tzu, is given LSD or alcohol or anything, will feel that he has been pulled down from his high estate. He will not be ready to accept it. If Buddha and Mahavira and Krishna and Lao Tzu are against drugs, they are against drugs because they live on such a high peak of consciousness that if you drug that consciousness, it falls low. It comes down. Unless man comes to a higher state of understanding and innocence, which no drug can give, drugs will continue. Laws will continue. Drugs will continue. Nothing changes because blinkers are there. You don't hear. You are just like, I have heard, you are like an aeroplane who is made to fly. But few primitive people caught hold of it. They could not even imagine that this mechanism can fly. So they used it like a bullock cart with horses or bullocks yoked to it. They used it. By and by, some people became interested that there seems to be some sort of mechanism inside. Curious people started working, discovering, just groping in the dark, and one day one person started the engine. So they removed the bullocks. They used the aeroplane as a kite to give it as much speed as possible. Suddenly one day, accidentally it took off. Then they came to know that it was meant to fly. It was not a bullock cart. This is the situation with you. You are meant to fly and you have become a bullock cart. Burdened. And you cannot be happy unless you attain to the total functioning of your being. This is what we mean by God. A man who has attained to the total functioning of his being, if he is meant to be an aeroplane, has become an aeroplane. That man is divine. You live below. That's why you are always low. When you are low, you have to force yourself to pull somehow up. But you cannot be up long enough. You can jump. Then again you fall. Discover your sensitivity. Your ears can hear the music. That is the innermost core of existence. Your eyes can see the invisible, which is hidden in all visibles. Your hands can touch that which cannot be touched. You can fall in love with that which is the whole. Then life is simple. If you are functioning perfectly, If your inner being hums with perfect functioning, everything is simple and easy. Otherwise, everything is difficult, very difficult. And you go on trying. And the more you try, the more it becomes difficult. That is the plight of the modern man. In ancient days, people were better because they never tried so much. The modern man is in really trouble because he is trying too hard to live it. That which can be lived easily, you are unnecessarily trying hard and making it impossible. Now the sutras of Lao Tzu. My teachings are very easy to understand. But if you have understanding, only then. The thing that you call now understanding is not understanding. It may be intelligence, but it is not understanding. What is the difference between intelligence and understanding? Intellect understands the words, concepts, logic, proof, argument. Understanding goes deeper. Intelligence is just on the surface. Wide, but not deep. Intelligence can be very wide. A man can know thousands and thousands of things. A man can become a living encyclopedia. But that doesn't mean that he has become understanding. Wider is his knowledge. And the wider it is, the lesser is the possibility of depth. If you force him to move into depth, he will start suffocating. Understanding is intelligence moving in depth. Knowledge is intelligence moving wider and wider. Intelligence is quantitative. That's why intelligence can be measured. It is quantitative. Psychologists have a word, IQ, intelligence quotient. It can be measured. How much intelligence you have, it can be measured. But nobody can measure how much understanding you have. It is not a quantity at all, so how you can measure it? It is a quality in depth. And understanding is not in any way dependent on knowledgeability. It is dependent on awareness. This is the difference. You can go on reading many things, no need to be aware. Just go on cramming. The memory goes on absorbing things. If you want understanding, you have to be alert, watchful. It is not a question of memory. It is a question to see the truth of it. You can hear me in two ways. You can hear me with the intelligence, and your intelligence can say, yes, this man looks logical, or looks illogical. Your intelligence can say, yes, I agree with this man, I disagree. But this is all on the surface. What I am saying, if you listen it with alertness, with not a mind judging continuously, but just penetrating, looking into the truth of it, what this man is saying, penetrating it deep, looking it through and through, you will come to understanding. And understanding is neither for nor against. It is simply understanding. Intelligence is for and against. If you understand me, you will not be for me, you will not be against me. You will simply delight in me and go your home. Understanding is a totally different dimension. Intelligence moves horizontal, understanding moves vertical. If you want to accumulate knowledge, then intelligence is needed. If you want to become knowledge, then understanding is needed. It may be if you come across Lao Tzu somewhere on the earth, you may not find him very intelligent. If you ask him questions, he may not be able to answer. But if you watch him, you will be able to see his understanding. He may not be a man of knowledge, but he must be a man of knowing. If you just listen to his words, he may look uneducated, uncultured. But if you look into his being, then you will see what he is hiding within. The purest heart possible. And that is the thing that ultimately counts, finally counts. Because nobody lives through knowledge. You have to live through being. Gurdjieff used to ask his disciples, whenever somebody wanted to be initiated, he will ask, in what are you interested, in knowledge or in being? It was difficult for a person who has not been searching deeply. What is the difference? Knowledge or being? Gurdjieff used to say, you want to know more or you want to be more? That to be more is the way of understanding. One gathers being, not words and concepts and philosophies. My teachings are very easy to understand and very easy to practice. In fact, no practice is needed. That is the meaning of very easy to practice. If you understand, the very understanding becomes the practice. That's the meaning of Socrates' famous dictum, knowledge is virtue. He used the wrong word. He was a Greek. We can forgive him. He should have used knowing or understanding. He said knowledge is virtue. He meant really understanding is virtue. If you understand a thing, how can you do anything against it? If I know well that this is the door, how can I try to pass through the wall? If I know, is there any need to practice it? Practice comes only as a substitute for knowing. If you really know a thing, it simply happens to be practiced. There is no need to do anything for it. That is the meaning, that understanding is easy and the practice is very easy. In fact, understanding is practice. Have you watched it in your own life? If you understand a thing, do you ask how to practice it? If you don't understand it, if you only accumulate it as knowledge, then of course the question arises, how to practice this? Knowledge needs practice. Understanding is practice itself. Once you understand a thing, it transforms you immediately. The transformation is not gradual, it is sudden. In a split second, you are totally a different man. I have heard an old story that a great jeweler died. He has left many valuable stones with his wife, and she was in trouble. So she called another jeweler, a friend of his ex-husband, to sell these stones. He looked into the stones and he said, keep them. Right now the market is not running well and they will not fetch much. Keep them. Whenever I see that this is the right time, we will sell them. But send your son to my shop every day so that I can teach him the art. Years passed. And then the woman again said that those stones are lying there and we are poor and we are in difficulty now. Sell them. The jeweler said, I will come today. The jeweler came. He brought the son of the woman who has been learning with him the art of jewelry. And he told the boy, now bring those stones. He opened the box, looked at the stones. They were useless. The boy laughed, went out, threw the whole box into the road. The mother started crying, what are you doing? But for years the woman has been keeping them as a great treasure, protecting them. So she asked the friend of her ex-husband, why didn't you say this before? He said, then you may not have believed me. They were useless. But you may not have believed me, because that would have been just a knowledge to you. It was difficult to trust me. Hence I asked your son to be trained. Now he knows. Now I am not in between. Did the son wait for a single moment? Once he knew that there are ordinary stones, he simply went out and threw them into the street. Not a single moment was lost. It was not a treasure, finished. The same happens in life. If you understand a thing, you understand. You never ask how to do it. The how comes only to a knowledgeable person, not a man of understanding. That's why J. Krishnamurti goes on teaching to his disciples. Don't ask the how. Just listen what I am saying and try to understand. Be aware. And there is no how to it. And they listen to him. Of course with blinkers. And when he has finished and he asked now if there are any questions, and somebody is bound to come. And he said, whatsoever you say is right, but how to do it? The whole point missed. Even a man of Krishnamurti's compassion feels irritated, because for 40 years he has been saying only one thing, that understanding is enough unto itself. No effort is needed to practice it. If effort is needed, it is not an understanding. And through effort, no one reaches to the truth. Only through understanding. My teachings are very easy to understand and very easy to practice. But no one can understand them and no one can practice them. Why? Why no one can understand them and no one can practice them? Because you are in such a mess that the easy looks difficult. The simple looks complex. And you are in such a mess that whatsoever you see becomes distorted. And then you start creating problems and solving them. Unless you raise your awareness to a different plane, problems will not change. It has been my observation, working with thousands of seekers, that no problem can be solved if your plane of consciousness remains the same. A man came to me a few years before. He has been suffering from constipation for long. A very rich man. Tried every medicine, tried every cure. From allopathy to naturopathy, he did everything. He has enough money to waste, enough time. So there was no problem for money and time. He has moved all over the world to get rid of the constipation. But the more he has tried, the more the constipation has become deep-rooted. He had come to me and he said, what to do? I told him, constipation can only be a symptom. It cannot be the cause. Cause must be somewhere else in your consciousness. So I told him a very simple thing. He could not believe it. He said, how it can be possible? This simple thing you think will help me? Are you fooling me? He said, because I have done everything and such a simple thing will help. I cannot believe. But I said, you simply try. I told him just to do one thing, to remember continuously that I am not the body. Nothing else. Of course, he could not believe, because how this is going to help? Man is identified with his body. Too much identification with the body will give you constipation. You cling. You shrink. You don't allow the body to have its way. You don't allow it to flow. That is the meaning of constipation. Constipation is a spiritual disease. Get disidentified with the body. Continuously remember that I am not the body. I am a witness. For 3 weeks he tried and he said, it is working. Something is loosening within me. It is bound to happen. If you are not the body starts functioning. You don't interfere. You don't come in the way. The body goes on working. Have you seen any animal constipated? No animal in nature is constipated. In zoos, you can find animals constipated. Our pet animals, dogs and cats, which live with man and are infected with humanity, which are corrupted by human beings, may get constipation. Otherwise, in nature, there is no constipation. The body has its own way. It flows. It is not frozen. It don't have blocks. Blocks come with identification. I told the man just to be not identified with the body. Keep an awareness that you are a witness. And never say that I am constipated. Just say, the body is constipated. I am a witness to it. The body became loose. The stomach started functioning. Because nothing disturbs the stomach as the mind. If you are worried, the stomach cannot function well. If you are identified with the body cannot flow well. That's why whenever you are very ill, deep sleep is needed. Because only in deep sleep you forget the body and things start flowing. It changed. But he came and told me that a new thing is happening. I have always been a miser. And now I don't feel so miserly. It has to be so. Because miserliness is deeply connected with constipation. It works both the ways. If you are a miser, you will be constipated. If you are constipated, you will be a miser. Constipation is really a deep miserliness of the body, not to leave anything. Not to allow to go anything out of the body. Keep everything closed. change the plane of your consciousness and problems start changing. A woman came to me very fat and of course has become ugly. She has also tried every way, dieting, gymnastics, yoga, all sorts of nonsense she has done. Nothing helps, she goes on, gathering more and more fat. I asked her that this does not seem to be the real cause. Somewhere deep down something else is hidden. This is just a symptom. I talked to her many times, she came, and by she revealed, unknowingly, she revealed her heart. From the very childhood, she has remained closed. She feels nobody loves her. Now, if a woman feels that nobody loves her, she will have to find somebody responsible, something responsible. Nobody can think that I am unlovable. So she has found the excuse in the body. Nobody loves me because my body is ugly. I am not ugly. My body is ugly, that's why nobody loves me. So the whole responsibility goes to the body. She goes on trying that the body should reduce its weight, but it can't help. It can't happen. She goes on feeding herself more and more because a deep-rooted cause is functioning there. That is her only protection. If the body remains ugly, she is at ease. Nobody loves her because of the body. Once the body becomes okay, and if nobody loves her, then the responsibility will come unto herself. Then she will feel that she is not lovable, and that is too much to encounter, to face. Once this thing surfaced in her being, things started changing. She eats the same, but the weight has gone down. No dieting, just surfacing of a cause, understanding it has become a transformation. She has become lean and thin, and of course beautiful, and of course people have started feeling her charm. Everybody has a charm. There is not a single human being who has not a magic of its own. You may not allow it to spread around you. Otherwise, everybody has a beautiful aura around. And once people started loving her, feeling for her, she has started loving her own body. Now the body is at ease. And whenever a body is at ease, it is beautiful. All bodies are beautiful. But something has to be brought to her understanding. This is the whole effort of psychoanalysis in the West, to help facts surface so that you understand them. The very understanding changes you. But no one can understand them and no one can practice them. Right now, as you are, it will be very difficult to understand Laos. If he had said, do something, you could have understood. If he had made a very high target to reach to the moon, you could have tried. But he says there is no goal, no purpose, no effort is needed to be. You are already there. All that you need is to participate in the celebration that is going on And it is an ongoing affair continuously. Whether you participate or not makes no difference. Birds go on singing, trees go on blossoming, clouds go on moving, seas go on roaring and singing. The celebration is an ongoing phenomena. You can cut yourself off and stand aside and suffer. Otherwise you move in, lose yourself and celebrate. In my words, there is a principle. In the affairs of man, there is a system. These two things have to be understood. In my words, there is a principle. A Lao Tzu is saying only one principle. Tao is the principle. Tao means to be natural and flowing, to be in a deep let go. Not fighting with life, but allowing it, accepting it. Not pushing the river, but floating with the river, wherever it leads. That is the only principle in Lao Tzu. Don't fight with life, otherwise you will be defeated. Surrender and your victory is certain. In surrender is victory. In fight is defeat. If you are frustrated, that simply shows you have been fighting hard. If you find someone who is happy and victorious, know well that he has understood the principle. He is not fighting. He is floating with life. He is riding on the wave. In my words, there is a principle. And in the affairs of men, there is a system. But in the affairs of men, there is not a principle, but a system. Lao Tzu says, if you ask me, I have got only one principle. And that principle can be said, a deep let go. Surrender. But in the affairs of men, there is not one principle, there is a system. A very complicated thing. People are not simple, very complicated, puzzled. They don't know even themselves how much complexity they go on carrying within them. And that complexity will not allow them to understand a simple phenomena, a simple principle, that you are part of life, a wave in the ocean. Don't fight with the ocean. That is foolish. Just enjoy the ocean while it lasts. Rise with the ocean. Fall with the ocean. Don't create any separation between you and the ocean. This is a simple principle. Zen masters have said that a single word solves everything. In fact, only a single word can solve everything. The more complicated philosophy you have, the more you will be in trouble. Because all philosophies are a type of armoring, defense. When people come to me, they are so much burdened with thoughts. And they come to me to gather more thoughts. I am their enemy if I burden them more. They need unburdening. They come and they say, we have come to learn something. And I say to them, you have already learned too much. You please forget it. Unlearn it. Drop it. Your head is too heavy, top heavy. You are being killed by your own burden. You forget all that you know. Knowledge is complicated. And knowledge becomes a barrier between you and life. Philosophers miss life as nobody else misses. They pass by the side of the life. They move parallel, but they never meet. Because it comes to them like a cloud. They cannot look beyond it. Their eyes are filled with smoke. Because they know not these, they also know me not. And because people can't understand a simple principle, they are always interested in complicated systems. That's why they know me not. Since there are few that know me, therefore I am distinguished. Lao Tzu is simply paradoxical, but his paradoxes are beautiful and indicate many things. He says, since there are few that know me, only few can know him. Not that he is difficult, but because he is so simple that only simple-hearted people can know him. Very few. All are corrupted. Only uncorrupted minds can know him. Very few people know me, therefore I am distinguished. And he says, that's why I am distinguished. Ordinarily, when many people know you, you think you are distinguished. When the whole world knows about you, you feel you are extraordinary, superb, something superior. In fact, Lao Tzu is true. When many people understand you, that simply shows that you are very ordinary. Otherwise, so many people cannot understand. People are so mad. You must have some insanity in you. Otherwise, so many people cannot understand you. You must be of the same label, of the same plane. That's why political leaders are so much distinguished. They come from the lowest strata of human mind. They belong to the most inferior quality of human consciousness. But of course, then the majority can understand them, because the majority belongs to the same label. They speak a language that can be understood by all. A Lao Tzu is rarely understood. In a century, if you can find 3 persons to understand Lao Tzu, that's too much to expect. But he says, that's why I'm distinguished. Always remember this. If many people recognize you, that you are something superior, remember you must be inferior. Otherwise, how can so many people recognize you? You must be worthless. If so many people appreciate you, know well, you must be on wrong grounds. Otherwise, so many people cannot appreciate you. I have heard about a madhouse. A new doctor has taken over. The old has gone to retirement and the new doctor has come. The whole madhouse, the 500 mad people, celebrated the day. They danced the whole night and they were very happy. It has never happened so. The doctor had been to other madhouses, to other hospitals attached, but never, nowhere he has passed. He was so much welcomed. He asked the madman in the morning, why you are celebrating so much? I am just an ordinary doctor. Why you are going so mad in your happiness? They said, you look so like us. The other doctor was not one of us. Whenever so many people appreciate you, remember this. You must be looking like them. There must be something inferior in you, something base. You cannot be very valuable. Otherwise, only very few dwellers will be able to understand who you are. You can pass Lao Tzu, you may not be able to recognize him. You cannot pass Alexander, without recognizing him. How you recognize so easily an Alexander, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong? How easy? Something in you responds. You also have a little Alexander in you. You would also like to become a conqueror of the whole world. You are of the same type, the same madness. That madness helps. That madness gives you a glimpse that here is a man, the image that you would like to be. You appreciate only those people who are the images, your goals, your ideals. Laosu will pass, you may not be even aware that somebody has passed. We have a beautiful word for Buddha. One of his names is Tathagat. The word means who came like wind and passed like wind, thus came, thus gone. Nobody could recognize when he came, when he went away. When he is gone, then people suddenly recognize that somebody was there, a presence. A Buddha is not felt. He comes like a breeze, not like a storm. Alexander comes like a storm. Buddha has such a soft music, you will not be able to hear it. You have become attuned to the marketplace, to the loud music, to the mad music. Only when something goes completely mad, then it enters in your consciousness. Otherwise not. That's why people are interested in politics. Politics is madness. The game of the very inferior consciousness in you. You can recognize. But Lao Tzu says, since there are few that know me, therefore I am distinguished. Therefore the sage wears a coarse cloth on top and carries jade within his bosom. A sage should not be understood by his appearance, because by appearance you understand fools. A sage should not be understood by his outer garments, because those are the garments used by emperors, politicians, generals, conquerors. A sage wears a coarse garment and carries a diamond within him. If you have eyes, only then you will be able to see it. If you have ears, only then you will be able to hear it. If you are really alive, functioning to your total capacity, only then you will be able to recognize that a sage exists. And in that very recognition, you have also become a sage. If you can recognize a sage, in that very recognition, you have taken a great step. Enough for today.